Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the special edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. I could not avoid tackling this subject, nor could I avoid having on my guest to talk to me about it because he spent so much time educating us about the case, the nuances, the do's, the don'ts, the highs, the potential lows, the potential outcomes, et cetera, et cetera. And we have him to thank for it tremendously. So I'm talking about legal analyst extraordinaire for ESPN and ABC, the one and only Ryan Smith is with me right now. What's up, Ryan? How are you, man? How's everything?
I'm doing great, Stephen A. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, first of all, we're both doing better than Diddy. How about that? Let's get that out of the way. We're both doing better than P. Diddy.
A federal judge
sentenced Sean Diddy Combs to 4 years and 2 months in prison this past Friday afternoon, telling the disgraced music mogul, and I'm reading from CNN right here, that his crimes were serious, but there is light at the end of the tunnel for him. It goes on to say Combs has been jailed in a federal detention facility in Brooklyn, New York, since his arrest last September and was facing up to 10 years in prison for each of the two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution he was found guilty of in July. He was also convicted of transporting two of his former girlfriends to have sex with paid male escorts at drug-fueled nights called freak-offs or hotel nights. In the end, here's what it comes down to. 4 years, 2 months in prison. How did you feel about the decision? Were you surprised that it was it too light, too lenient? Was it excessive? What was it, Ryan?
You know, I thought it was just right. And here's why, on a couple different levels. First, prosecutors asked for double-digit years in prison. So when you think about it, he got about half that, which is not bad. Diddy's people asked for 14 months. Now, keep in mind, Stephen A., he's already been in jail for about 12 months. So that would basically be like asking time served. Basically, his lawyers were saying, hey, let him walk free in a month or so after the sentencing. That was never going to happen. I think what happened here is the judge even talked about the sentencing guidelines, which he's somewhat bound to, but he does have discretion to exceed or go lower them. He said the sentencing guidelines were around 70 months or so, but decided to give him 50. And I think that's not a bad result for Diddy. I think when you look at it, prosecutors asking for double-digit years and you end up with 5, and because he's already served 12 or so, he's really looking at 38 months or so. That's not bad for what he was potentially facing. And Stephen, I always like to look at this and take the 30,000-foot view. Remember a couple months ago, we were talking about RICO charges, that we were talking about 20, 30 years in prison, a lifetime in prison. Now he's got a couple more years, and then after that, a couple years of house arrest. That is not a bad result. Now, the reason why he's probably mad, his lawyers are going to appeal, because you want to see if you can get that even lower. That's what everybody does. But when you think about it from where he was a couple months ago to where he is now, that is not a bad result at all.
Okay, what about those that are looking at it, Ryan Smith, and they're like, this is utterly ridiculous, man. The guy, it was consensual. The women agreed, and they're adults, et cetera. Why is he even facing all of this? What about those who are making that argument? Because there are those that were sitting outside the jail, outside, the courtroom and what have you, and they were making such proclamations. What level of validity gets attached to that?
I will take back and say, yeah, he was acquitted of many of those charges, but what he was convicted of was transportation for prostitution. And you know what? That evidence was crystal clear. It was crystal clear that people were making calls and saying, hey, you, go from this state to engage in prostitution. Go from this state to do that. That's a clear violation of the law. That's exactly what prosecutors charged them of. That carried certain penalties. And for everybody, and look, I understand how people think, well, he wasn't convicted of the top charges. They're trying to get him somehow. I would just back that up and say this. There are many things in this case that he was acquitted of, most of which carried most of the time in prison. What he was convicted of was the smallest stuff. And what the judge chose to do within his discretion in many ways was say, on that stuff, I'm going to give you time in prison. And so for me, I understand how people think, well, he didn't get off. He didn't get convicted on some of the heaviest stuff, so he should get off. My problem with that is, hey, if someone does something to you, and it's been proven that they did it and it's against the law and they were convicted, would you not want them to serve that time? That's exactly what Diddy is doing right here. This is exactly why we have many of these laws in place. We don't want that kind of behavior. And the judge is sending the message of, hey, just because it's a lower count doesn't mean I'm just going to throw it out, because it was something he did. It was wrong and it was against the law.
based on your experience, your knowledge, if the Southern District of New York knew that this would be the outcome, what's the likelihood that they would have went through all of this to get him in prison?
Oh, that's a great question. I think they still would have done it. And I think they would have done it because they're testing out a theory that they believed worked in other cases like the R. Kelly case. And they thought that a jurisdiction and a jury would look at that and say, we can make the same connection here. And for them, it was about making the greater point. It was about making the point of holding power accountable. So for them, to get a conviction here was the payoff. And they thought because they got a conviction in the R. Kelly, and because a conviction was secured in the R. Kelly case, not them, that they thought they could do that kind of thing here. That didn't work out. I do think for them, there is some value in getting a conviction on some of the counts because it sends the message to everybody else who might be in a situation like this, who might want to do things like freak off, who might want to take advantage of other people to say, we are coming for you. And I think that's a powerful statement. Do I think it worked out the way they wanted it to work out? Far from that. But do I think it still has some value to them and still makes them want to pursue cases like this? I do. I think they're looking at this and saying, we got something here. Let's build on it and see what we can do for other people in power, because their goal is to make sure that they're protecting the citizens of their state as they see it.
The judge, however, also said, Ryan Smith, that he obviously with the conviction, he was convicted of transporting two of his former girlfriends to have sex with paid male escorts at drug-fueled nights called freaks or freak-offs or hotel nights. But the judge alluded to his violence against women. And I'm saying to myself, was that a part of the charges that were leveled against him? Was that what he was convicted of? Because I don't recall that being the case.
You bring up a great point. And you bring up, right there, you're giving one of the defense's arguments on appeal. They're going to argue that the judge was being a 13th juror here. And here's why. He was convicted on the convicted on the transportation for prostitution. He was not convicted on the coercion for sexual conduct. He was not convicted on racketeering. But the judge, I thought, made it interesting when he started bringing up statements about Jane and how Diddy's conduct was relevant to all of this in the sentence and how Diddy coerced her into these different situations. And that is part of what he wasn't convicted of. So naturally, the defense looks at that and says, oh, whoa. Part of this sentence that you're given here is based on something that he wasn't convicted on, and you cannot do that. Now, what the prosecution is going to argue in all of that is say, A, the judge has discretion in what he wants to do. B, the judge is making statements about what he believes is all part of this situation. He mentioned that Diddy was no ordinary John. He mentioned that Diddy, he wants to deter this kind of conduct. He mentioned that he's worried that Diddy might go and do things like this again if he just lets him off with a light sentence. And all of this is part of the argument that the judge was sharing with the court to try to suss out for everybody why he came to this sentence. So for the defense, it's going to be like, hey, I saw those words you said, and you know what that means? That means you're trying to loop some of this stuff in that he wasn't convicted on, and that's what we're going to argue on appeal. But the prosecution is saying he has this discretion. So it's going to be interesting how that plays out in front of the appeals court. But I do think judges have a lot of discretion in stuff like this. So even though he made those statements, I don't know if that's going to be enough to get an appeals court to say, let's lighten this, let's remand this sentence or send it back down. He's got to do it again because he looped in this stuff that was not part of the conviction.
Well, in witnesses, and particularly somebody like former girlfriend Cassie Ventura had expressed fear, you know, of retaliation and things of that nature. That's not something that the judge appeared to address with this sentencing. So one would argue that if you're going to get out in 38 months, which is really 2-3 years and 2 months, because you've already served about, you know, 12 to 14 months in jail already, one could easily argue, wait a minute here, this could be problematic because that ain't enough time for somebody to get away and no longer fear for themselves the way they were expressing they were fearing for themselves when it came to Diddy. Since the judge brought up, you know, the video, brought up violence, domestic yep. violence, et cetera, that didn't seem to be consistent with his sentencing. Why do you think that was?
I would think that in some ways it was consistent because here's the thing. He's going to spend his 38 months in jail because he got the time served. Then after that, he's got 5 years of house arrest where his movements, things like that, his ability to travel are severely limited. So now we're talking about, what, 8 or 9 years where he's going to be very limited in the things he can do. After that, what happens? that you're right. There's always a chance that he could try to retaliate against somebody. But the judge is banking on this idea of deterrence. He's banking on, hey, you're going to be sitting in prison for a bunch of years, and then you're going to be on house arrest. Your life is going to change over the next decade. And you're going to, after all that time, try to get back at the people that you thought sent you there? I don't think so. And I think that's what's being said. Now, the other part of that is, you could say, well, maybe he should have gotten more time. But then I could still make the same argument. Okay, now after 15 years, is he going to come out and still try to get back at somebody? I think the judge is looking at this case and saying, we didn't get a big enough conviction to justify keeping him in prison for 10, 15 some years. I think what he's trying to do, and what a lot of judges do, is they try to hand down a sentence that is somewhere in the middle so that it can't be overturned, so that there's a hard time for the appeals court to say something was seriously wrong here, and then let that stand. And then at the end of that point, if Diddy decides to do something as crazy as go out and try to get retaliation against Cassie and others, then he will not have learned his lesson and the law will hold him accountable. But I think the judge is looking at this and saying, that's a lot of time to be holding the grudge. And it's also a lot of time to be sitting restricted either in prison or at home to want to go out and do something again that could land you back in prison.
Right. Now, forgive my ignorance in asking this question, and I want to state for the record, this has nothing to do with me. I would never do something like this, and you would never do something like this. Most people wouldn't do something like this, but just so we want to look out for people, Ryan Smith. We want to look out for the people out there, the average person out there. So if you got a girl that you're messing with, right, and you decide that, you know what, you know, you want to be loose and what have you, and you don't mind her having sex with somebody else. And let's say, for example, you do something as simplistic as paying for a flight for her to go meet that other individual so they could hook up. That you could get convicted for that. Is it as simple as that?
Yes. And I'm telling people right now, don't do that. It's transportation across state lines, Stephen A. I want people to understand. This is what governments want to stop. First of all, prostitution for them is illegal. Now, are they going after everybody who's engaging in prostitution? No. But I always tell people, because people will be like, you know what? That's not such a serious crime. People won't go after you, whatever. I say, with all crimes, why are you putting yourself in harm's way? That's number one, because you never know what could happen. The second thing is, what prosecutors, governments, states really want to avoid is becoming a state known for, hey, if you want to transport prostitutes into our state and do all kinds of illicit activities, go ahead and do it, because we're not going to do anything about it. That's what they want to avoid. So when you talk about the situation you described, the reason I think people need to watch out for stuff like that is because states are trying to stop people. They don't want people bringing illegal contact into their state. So for me, what prosecutors were trying to do, obviously, Stephen A., when they bought these charges, they were hoping to get them on the top stuff. But the lesser stuff was still significant, because it was this idea that you can run an enterprise, hang out here, and just fly in. You could do whatever you want, and the laws of our state don't matter. And that is a message that this state wanted to send, especially with a high-profile individual like Diddy. You can almost look at it another way, Stephen A., and you could say, everybody knew that Diddy was doing this kind of stuff, and yet he's doing it right under the law, and it doesn't matter. That's why we got to hold it accountable. Mm. We got to send that message. And so, yeah, I don't think they're going to bring a case against any random Joe out there who's doing something with his girlfriend. But I think in many ways, it doesn't mean that if they get you on other stuff, or if they get you on something bigger, now this is another one of those charges. And I think people sometimes don't realize, even though it's not something they're actively prosecuting on, that because it's a law on the books, it doesn't mean it's a law that's meant to be broken.
So if Diddy, the video of him hitting Cassie Ventura, dragging her in a hotel hallway, kicking her and all of that, if that video isn't out, the likelihood is that he's not experiencing this sentencing as we speak. Is that possible?
I still think that if no one ever saw that video, there never would have been a case. I believe that. And I don't believe it because people turned a blind eye to things. I believe it because this video was so explosive, so shocking for all of us, Stephen A., for all of us. It was so shocking that prosecutors were forced to do something. This was an imperfect case from the very beginning. This was never going to be a slam dunk. Getting RICO convictions, extremely difficult, so complicated, hard to explain to juries. And then in this case, you're not talking about a mobster. You're talking about somebody who's doing illegal contact, and we're trying to fit him into a theory. So this was always going to be a difficult case. But when that video came out, I think that the government had no choice but to do something. And this was what they came up with. So not even so much a conviction. I think the whole thing, nothing would have happened unless in some other way Diddy's conduct would have been revealed. And it speaks, I think, Stephen A., very much to the fact of our largest society. Like, all these people were involved in this, and no one ever would have really known about it, nor would there have been accountability if not for that video.
Before I let you get on out of here, and I appreciate it, I just want you to reiterate what you explained earlier. After he's released from prison, assuming that's about 38 months, you're saying he's confined to his home for 5 years?
Yeah, he's got 5 months supervised release. So normally that can be to his home. He's probably going to ask before his sentence is up to be released to a halfway house so he could spend some time there. That can end up getting him less time in actual prison. But there are going to be restrictions on his movement, things like that, for about 5 years. So, and that's not uncommon. Usually when you get out of prison, it's not like, I'm done. That's great. I don't have a probation office or anything. He's going to have to probably stay in contact with someone, be restricted. But currently it's set at 5 years where he has to be accountable in some way. Could be in his house, could be somewhere else. But he is not going to be truly free until after that period.
Wow. Legal analyst, the one and only Ryan Smith right here with Stephen A., Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Appreciate you, my man. Thank you so much. And thank you for the great work you did for me covering this trial. I really, really appreciate it, my man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. One and only Ryan Smith, best in the business, right here with Stephen A., Straight Shooter with Stephen A., breaking down the whole Diddy case. Listen, he didn't get life. He didn't get 25 to 30 years. He didn't get that R. Kelly sentence. It's hard to tell somebody they should be happy with 38 months, but he need to be happy with 38 months, ladies and gentlemen. He need to be happy with 38 months because it could have been a lot worse, especially with that incriminating video. Imagine if the prosecution had done a better job of pinpointing him with violence as opposed to try to get into prostitution. And we want to show that he's a violent individual that has abused women. What if that was the case against him instead of, you know, prostitution or transportation of prostitution? Man, hey, listen, that's all I can tell y'all. That's all I can tell y'all.